better partnering people than Mountain State Baptist Church. And so we are very grateful and looking forward to this week of camp and whatever we can do there. Looking forward to souls saved there, like over there. The war in Myanmar is still going on, and yet souls continue to be saved. And our people are still preaching the gospel, still planting churches despite the military. And the military violence has increased. It's accelerated in just the last several weeks. And yet, we are seeing a lot of victories. And our people, God has protected them. And we are still distributing all of those booklets all across the country there. So we're very thankful for that, those things. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 7. Have a little ring or something. It's right there. John chapter 7. I'll let you remain seated. I'm going to read a little scripture tonight. Is that all right?
Yes.
I thought maybe so. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this: after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Verse 9, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, that is to the feast, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. And some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Right. And now my text. If any man will do his will, whose will? God's will. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Right. But he that seeketh his glory, God's glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And let's have a word of prayer. My Father, may you be honored and glorified. Yeah. Yeah. May you be lifted up. Thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the message that we have already received by the Holy Spirit of God in this place tonight. The service this morning was wonderful. We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Your presence was here among us this morning, and yet it is here again tonight. And we're thankful Father, thank you for dwelling in our midst, among us. And I pray, Father, that you'll be pleased, Lord, to help us in the word tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for your word. We ask, Father, that you will help us to receive the word. I pray, Father, that you will give us ears to hear. I pray, Father, you would give us understanding. Me first, and then your folks tonight. God, that you would be honored in all that we say and do tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and just for his sake, amen. Jesus' brothers are lost, or were lost. We are told very plainly that they do not yet believe in the Lord. How can that be? They walked with him, they talked with him, they touched him, they grew up together, they were there and they saw the miracles, the water into wine and the lame to walk and the blind to see. They saw it all. But the Bible tells us very, very plainly that they were still unbelieving. Human reasoning says that if he submits to their challenge, human reasoning says that if Jesus submits to their challenge of going and showing himself to the world, maybe those brothers will listen to what he has to say and listen to their guidance. And don't we do the same thing?
Yeah.
And now often we have, how often have we as parents tried to win our families to Christ or win our children back to God with our own reasoning and offering them things and trying to help them to understand with the wisdom of this world? And it doesn't work, does it? We think maybe we haven't loved them enough, or we haven't loved them in the right way. We second guess ourselves and blame ourselves. But Jesus' brothers are lost, and they saw everything he did. And yet they are still lost. Perhaps they just couldn't make the distinction between the carpenter's son and the God of miracles who was standing right before them. What they suggested would be a temptation to any man. Show yourself to the world, and you'll become famous for the things that you are doing. It would be a temptation to anybody.
Sure.
I don't know if Jesus was tempted, but I know that he submitted to the will of his Father.
Yes.
He said this, "My time is not yet come." It would come. But he said, "Your time is always ready."
Yeah.
What did he mean? What did he mean? Was it that they could go to the feast unhindered, unmolested, or any public gathering anytime they wanted to, and not be in trouble as maybe he would be if he went? He was restricted. Jesus Christ was only restricted in where he would go and what he would do by the plan of God that was set in order and set in motion before the world began.
Amen.
Or was Jesus actually talking about his own death when he said, "My time is not yet come"? But yours, and if that's true, then what is he talking about? Your time is always ready. His death was predestined before the world began. It would happen exactly when God planned it in the fullness of time. Maybe Jesus was actually telling his brothers, "You better be careful. You know not what day and what hour. You don't know what a day may bring forth."
Right.
You walk down the street, and if you don't have Christ in your heart, you may die in your sins.
Right.
You go to the very next, you turn the page over to chapter 8, John chapter 8, and you look there in verse 21. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." Folks, there is nothing more dangerous in this world and in this Bible than dying in your sins.
Right.
God help us. God help you not to die in your sin.
Yeah. Amen.
In your sins. "Whither I go, you cannot come," he said. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
Right.
He didn't say if you're not a member of a Baptist church, you'll die in your sins. He didn't say that if you don't tithe, you'll die in your sins. He didn't say that if you're not baptized, you'll die in your sins. He said if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the one that came to save this world and every sinner in it, you'll die in your sins.
Right. Amen.
Right. That's good.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
Now, in chapter 7, both Jesus' brothers and the Jews have a problem with one particular doctrine of God. As you read this passage in John chapter 7, his brothers have the same problem that the Jews have. None of them believe that Jesus is really who he said he is.
Right.
It's all about him. It's all about who he is and what he said he'll do and what the Bible says he did.
Yeah.
So I want you to understand something tonight. This verse 17, when I saw that earlier today, I read that if any man will do his will, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. He shall know of the doctrine. What doctrine? Well, in this passage of scripture, it's very evident that the doctrine is the doctrine of the deity of Christ.
Yes. Right.
I want you to understand, doctrine is important.
Yes, it is.
Bible doctrine is important.
Yes, it
is. I've heard people that say, well, we don't care about doctrine around this place. We don't care about doctrine in this church. We just worship and celebrate Jesus. But what you're saying is, your doctrine is not Bible.
Amen.
It's not biblical.
Amen.
Your doctrine will affect not only your church, but your doctrine will affect your home.
Yes, it will.
Your doctrine will not just affect yourself, it will affect those around you.
Yes.
Your doctrine will affect your life. Or should I say, your lack of Bible doctrine will affect your life.
Yes.
It's not.
Right.
Doctrine is important. Now, I could say this. You can get so stuffy in Bible doctrine and Bible knowledge and studying and all of these things that you can become like a bunch of dead Calvinists.
Right.
And not care about anybody.
Right.
And just go to church once in a week and think you've done your fair share and your religious duty and be dead inside.
Amen.
Be spiritually dead and think that you're better than anybody.
Amen.
You can be like that, but I believe that you and I, we need to know what we believe.
Amen.
We need to know our Bible.
Absolutely.
We need to read and study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to be workmen that are ready to serve the Lord and equipped to serve the Lord and know our Bibles.
Amen.
Know how to lead people to Christ.
Right.
Know about the doctrine of Christ. Know about the doctrine of inspiration. Know about the doctrine of pneumatology or the doctrine of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And there's a lot of confusion in this world.
Yes.
Now, can I say this? Because I don't want to dwell on that too long. But it's not my doctrine.
No. Amen.
No.
Amen.
And it's not your doctrine.
Amen.
And it's not our doctrine.
Amen.
It's his doctrine.
Amen.
And you say, I don't understand what doctrine means. Doctrine is just this is doctrine. This is the teaching of the Word of God. What this church believes, what I believe after 54 years of walking and talking with the Savior, after 54 years ago, he saved my soul, made me whole, forgave my sin, changed my life, and then changed my family.
Amen.
He that believeth on the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
and thy house.
Yeah. Amen.
And thy house.
Yeah.
People doubt that all the time, but it happened for me.
Yeah. Amen.
Happened for me. I was the first one saved in my family. Then my father, then my mother and my sister. Thank God, my sister is in heaven with the Lord right now. She's been there for more than 30 years, 3 years younger than me.
Right.
Can I tell you? It's because of my doctrine. It's because of my sound Bible doctrine that I don't sorrow as others who have no hope. It's because of what I believe from this Bible that I have victory over death and victory over the sorrow of death. And I don't sorrow like other people. And I miss my sister. I miss my family members. My mother died last year at 101 years old, and I miss her. But I'm going to see her again, and I have no doubt about that. It's not a theory. It's not you can't talk me out of it. You know why? Because it's in the book. This is Bible, sound Bible doctrine.
Amen.
It's important what we believe. But it's God's doctrine, not mine.
Amen.
We have to recognize the authority of Holy Scripture. It's not what I say or what you say or what the church says. It's what God says.
Amen.
What I believe from the Scriptures and from that's from God. From God.
Amen.
What I believe from the Scriptures is my Bible doctrine.
Yes.
When we were in Kenya, Samuel, who may be viewing this tonight, I don't know. He said this, you remember this, he said, everything you and Boyd do and say is from the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had a greater compliment, Brother Rick. I don't know that anybody has said anything more that I rejoiced in, and I admit it.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged. I live by this book. I believe this book. We preach this book. We sing this book. It's all about this book. And you know what this book is? It's the Logos. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's in me.
Amen.
He's in me. Thank God. Yes. Yes.
Good.
The Chin people in Burma. Oh, they have such a wonderful heritage. And Adoniram Judson went there, and then following him, William Boardman, and George Boardman, rather, and then a host of missionaries from America and from England. They went to Chin State or northwestern Myanmar against the India border. And there's Heinz 57 varieties of Chin peoples, and they have different languages. They all associate as Chin, you know, not like my double chin, but Chin. And they are, they're very religious people. When the missionaries first went there, they were animists. They worshiped spirits in trees. And spirits and rocks and so forth and so forth. And they were naked and they hunted for their survival. And they had never seen a white man. They'd never seen a foreigner of any color. And the missionaries went there and God gave them favor and power in preaching Bible doctrine. And they won those people to Christ. And now all over Chin State, you have Baptist churches all over the map. In the north and the south and the east. I mean, everywhere. There's hundreds and hundreds of churches. But can I tell you this? And thank God for that.
Amen.
But can I tell you this? A lot of those churches are more Protestant today than they are Baptist. You say, what's wrong with that? Well, I was at 3 years of age. My parents had me christened a Methodist at the Comore Methodist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Long time ago. And I had nothing to do with that. I don't remember it. I have no idea all that was done. I don't have any idea. But then later, I was 10 years old. I hadn't been in church all those years. My parents took me and dropped me off. They had a habit of doing that. They didn't want to go to church, but they wanted me to go to church. And so I went to the Methodist church. And I began to learn something about the Methodist Church. They never one single time ever told me about Jesus Christ and salvation through the blood of the Lamb. They never one time told me about the gospel. They never one time tried to lead me to the Lord. They had their Sunday school lessons and their little booklets, and they had their rituals, and they had their sprinkling of their baptism by sprinkling, but you didn't know what it meant. They never explained anything. It was religion, and that's all that it was, and I think that's all that they had. And if they had anything like we've got tonight, they would have told me about it back then. But they didn't. And weak in doctrine. And then later on, I was 13 years old, and my father took me to another church. And just like before, he took me there, he dropped me off, and I went inside, and he told me, he said, "You better stay." He said, "I got a spy in there, and if you leave, I'll know about it." And so I went in there, and I sat through, and I sat all the way in the back, as far back as I could possibly get, and I heard the gospel message, but this time there was something different. And that preacher was actually preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And as soon as I heard the gospel, I was under conviction. And I immediately wanted to get saved, but I was afraid. And I went home that night. And some of you had heard my testimony about my mom tucking me into bed and giving me a great big wet kiss on the cheek and me wiping it off and her going back to, and I heard Dad snoring, and I got out of bed and paced around, and that whole week I was miserable, and my teacher said, "What's wrong with you?" and so forth and so on. And finally the following weekend I told my dad I want to go back to that church. He was shocked. He said, "I can't believe you want to go back." "I want to go back." You know why I wanted to go back? Because I was under conviction. I wanted to get saved. Because of their Bible doctrine.
Right.
And it was a Southern Baptist church. And it was liberal. And their music was worldly. And their dress was worldly. Their practices were worldly. Their lives were worldly. But that preacher preached the gospel. And I heard it. And I was immediately under conviction and wanted to get saved. So after the Sunday night service, I went to that big tall Texas preacher, from graduate of Baylor University in Houston, Texas. And I said, "I want to get saved." You know what he said? He said, "Make an appointment with my secretary sometime this week and we'll talk about it." But I was under conviction. I got to tell you, it was years later that I left not only that Southern Baptist church, but I left the Southern Baptist Convention because of Bible doctrine.
Yes. Yes.
Because of convictions from the Word of God.
Yes.
That's why I left that church.
Yes.
And I've left other churches.
Yes.
Not because I'm disloyal. Not because I have a lot of hate in my heart. Not because I don't. You could name a dozen reasons. But I left those churches because of Bible doctrine.
Amen.
For conviction's sake. I was at Bob Jones University. How many have heard of Bob Jones?
Sure.
And they came to me. The dean of students came to me and he said, "We're breaking fellowship with your pastor." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "We're going to break fellowship with your pastor." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because of what he believes about the local church, and we think he's disloyal because he is recommending other Bible colleges besides Bob Jones." And he said, "You need to quit that church, leave that church, and join a church in Greenville, South Carolina, and just come down here." And you know what I said? I said, "Respectfully, sir, you're out of line." And that got me 125 demerits, and I already had 24, and it takes 150 to ship you home free of charge. So I was one away. I called my pastor in Fairfax County, Virginia, and I told him what happened. He said, "You will not get that last demerit. You will be a model student. You will finish the semester, and then you will come home, and you will be my first pastoral intern this summer." All that, and then I was next the following summer as well. And he called Lee Robertson. I never filled out an application. I just showed up at Tennessee Temple University. How many have heard of Tennessee Temple? And when I got there, I met this beautiful girl called Carolyn, and in just record time made her my wife.
Amen.
I think I was meant to go there.
Yeah.
What do you think? And but I left Bob Jones. There might be people here that are loyal to Bob Jones. And think what you want to think. But I left that college, and I would leave another college or another church because of convictions and Bible doctrine. You say, what was the Bible doctrine? I believe that I am to, I believe in pastoral authority and the authority of the local autonomous church, New Testament church. I was a member of that church. I was under that pastor's authority and the authority of those deacons, the officers of my church. And that man had no business telling me that I should leave that church. Now, if I went home and denying the virgin birth and denying the deity of Christ, I would leave that church in a heartbeat because of Bible convictions and Bible doctrine.
Amen.
We really need to know what we believe. So the churches in Chin State, they have become, in an ugly way, they have become modernistic, their doctrine is off, their music is worldly, their philosophy is worldly, and that's why we're starting Bible-believing, New Testament, historic faith Baptist churches in Chin State, Burma.
Amen.
That's why we're doing that.
Amen.
You say, well, there's churches there. Yeah, but most of the people that I've met in Chin State from those kind of churches are lost. They're lost. And they don't know what they believe. Do you know what you believe?
Yes, I do.
Or are you coming to this Baptist church to be spoon-fed by this preacher in hopes that he's right? You better know what you believe.
Yes,
amen.
So, doctrine is important. And it's not my doctrine, it's God's doctrine. It's not your doctrine, it's God's doctrine. But number three, our text says, look at the verse 17. Our text tonight says that any man can know God's doctrine. Doesn't take an Einstein, doesn't take a rocket scientist. God made this King James Bible so that all of us in this room tonight could understand it.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. This is the preserved, inerrant, infallible words. This is the words of my God. And He's preserved it for me. First of all, if you're going to, in looking at that verse, verse 17, if any man will do his will, that means that if you want to do God's will, if you have a desire to follow God, if you have a desire to live for God, if you have a desire to know His will, God is going to help you to understand the right doctrine.
Amen.
That's what that verse is teaching, Brother Rick. Yes. So you may not want to know it now, but there's going to come a day when you're going to want to know what this teaches. There is coming a day when you are going to wish to God that you had known it then or now instead of waiting until you were my age. There's coming a day. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, if you desire to do God's will, you will get understanding. It's all what's in your heart. If you want to lift up yourself in this Mountain State Baptist Church, you're not going to have understanding. But if you seek to do God's will, He's going to give you understanding and help you to know sound Bible doctrine. Sound Bible doctrine. So, in seeking to know, if you really want to unlock the riches of the Bible, Don't go looking for something to help you or to give you relief in this world. Get into your Bible and look for Christ. If you want victory in Jesus, don't go get a self-help book from Walden's bookstore and search for a book that will help you overcome the problems in your life. Get in God's book and look for Christ. Get in God's book and look for God. He's on every page. He's in every chapter. Christ is all through it from beginning to end. It's a crimson thread. It's a cord of blood from Genesis to Revelation. He's in there. And if you will find Him, then He will lift you up, and He, knowing Him, will help you through all the difficulties in this life. And that's how it works. I want you to go over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. I love this. I just want to share it with you. Is that all right?
Sure.
Isaiah 45. And look at verse 1. Then saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus. He was a king. He was a king in Babylon. Whose right hand I have holden. I've held His hand. To subdue nations before Him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before Him the two-leafed gates, and the gates shall not be shut. You say, what's that got to do with it? Keep coming with me. Verse 2. I will go before thee. Who's he talking to? Cyrus. He's got a lot of enemies. He's got a lot of problems. He's got a lot of challenges. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness.
Yeah.
The treasures of darkness. The times when you don't understand, when you are confused. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know what? That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, will call thee by thy name and the God of Israel, and on and on and on. And the hidden treasures of darkness.
Yeah, that's
it. It's the treasures of this book in the dark times of life.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It's the treasures. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
It's the treasures in this book. The riches and the glories of this book.
Yeah.
Of the words of this book that will get us through the hard times in this life. The stony places. And so forth and so forth. Go over to, well, I'll skip that. When you find God in this book, you're going to find help.
Yes. Amen.
Any man. It's not just people on this side of the tracks or that side.
Right.
It's not just people. It's not just preachers. It's just not quote unquote good people.
Right.
It's not just deacons and Sunday school teachers. Any man, any woman, any boy or girl can look into the pages of this book and find God and then find help.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus said this. He said there's many false prophets. And John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because there are many false prophets that are going out in this world. Can I tell you tonight, any man can know the doctrine of God because we can hold this in our hand, but any man can also know what is false.
Amen.
Any man in this room tonight, you don't have to be deceived. You do not have to be led astray. You don't have to fall for sin or temptation, you have the same powers that that preacher does and that one over there and that lady down there called Miss Hope and that preacher over there and this Bible student and on and on and on. I'm telling you, you not only, when you have a Bible, you not only know what's true, you know what's false.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We need to know what our Bible teaches.
Amen.
And it's not this preacher's job or that Bible teacher over there. It's not his responsibility to spoon feed us and to inject us, to hook us up like IVs at the hospital and infuse us with Bible knowledge. That is at our feet.
Amen.
That's my responsibility.
Amen.
I must know what this Bible teaches. I have to dig. I have to search.
Yeah.
And God will help me through every problem in my life. Now, when I talk about Bible doctrine, I'm talking about the Savior.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you know what you believe about the Savior? Do you know, that he was 100% God and 100% man? Do you know that he never sinned? In all of the years that he lived in this world and had temptations like his own brothers gave him, he never sinned. Not one time. And he decided that he wouldn't do that. Not for himself, not to lift himself up, but for us, for you and me. So that he could be the Lamb of God. So he could be the sacrifice for our sins. The Savior. What do you believe about the Savior? What do you believe about the Scriptures? Do not be deceived. Many are coming these days. And let me tell you, the ESV and the NIV and the RSV and the Living Bible and all, these are the Bibles of the modernist and the liberals and the and those who are seeking to destroy the church and destroy Christian people's lives. These are the Bibles of the Protestant churches that are dead.
Amen.
And aren't making a difference. They don't lead anybody to the Lord. They have a form of godliness, but they deny every power thereof.
Amen.
And they're clinging to those Bibles. But not us. Why? Because we know what we believe.
Amen.
We know what we believe.
Yes, amen.
And then what? Our Bible doctrine. Our need for personal, persistent, and powerful prayer on our knees every day of our lives. We do not quit. We do not slow down. We don't get tired. We intercede for each other.
Yes, amen.
Because it's taught in this book. It's part of what we believe. It's where we stand.
Yes,
and not just because we're Baptist. But Baptists do believe that.
Yes.
It's why I'm a Baptist.
Yes.
Do you know why you're a Baptist?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
Amen.
Bible doctrine about separation from this world.
Yes. Yes.
Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you and be a father unto you. You know what it says?
Yes.
It's what it says. It's what the Bible says.
Yes. Amen.
But the church is becoming more and more worldly, and as the world creeps along, the church follows just a little bit behind.
You're right.
And you know what we're doing? We are stealing our own power and the ability to make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah. Think about that.
That's good.
We think that we can dress like the world and we can sing the world's music and we can go to the world's places and we can do what we want to do. And I'm telling you, we are robbing ourselves of our own influence with our loved ones.
Amen.
We've got to get separated for the Lord. And not only that, the doctrine of giving. What I believe about tithing, what I believe about giving above and beyond my tithe, giving sacrificially and not just money, but giving myself and of my time and going to the other side of the planet and making a difference both here and there and just doing what God wants me to do and give myself regardless of what it costs.
Yeah.
That's what I believe from the Bible.
Yeah.
Bible doctrine. And the ministry of the church. I believe in the local New Testament church
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm faithful to the church. Yeah. It's not just my duty. It's not, I don't go there and take my grandchildren because they need to learn about God. I don't go on a Sunday morning and put my kids in the nursery and in Sunday school so that they will learn. I go because this is my church and this is where I worship God.
Yeah.
And this is where I serve the
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
And this is where I must be faithful. And being faithful to the church is part of being faithful to Him.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And then my doctrine of the Great Commission. The last thing that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why do we go to Burma? And why do we go to Kenya? And why am I, we're going to go to Tanzania and we're going to end up in Uganda, Boyd. We're going to do that. And we're going to do it because of what we believe from this Bible. It's not because we just want to take a trip. It's not just because we want to gallivant around. It's not because we're taking big vacations and spending people's money. It's in the book. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and so forth and so forth. It's in the book. Why do we go? Because we have a compassion for souls. They said, Baji, Boyd, other Mzungu, they come here and they stay in their hotel and they stay in the city. They will not come to our village. They will not come to our house. They won't eat our food. They won't even shake our hand. But you come to our village. You come to our house. You come into our house. You eat our food. You not only shake our hands, you hug our neck and you kiss our face. You know why? Because God has taught us compassion through this book. It didn't come from my preacher. It didn't come from my wife. It didn't come from anybody that showed me an example. It came because I saw Jesus do it in this book. And because He did it for me, I'm going to do it for them. That's why. See, if I know Bible doctrine... Some people don't like that word at all, preacher. They're real afraid of that word, doctrine. It's what we believe. It's where we stand. It gives us strength. It binds us together. If I know Bible doctrine, if I know what I believe, let the storms come.
That is right.
Let them come. Let them roar. Yeah. Let the storms come and let the winds beat upon the house and let the tornadoes come and knock down my house and kill my cattle and all of this. Let whatever comes may, whatever may come.
Yeah.
If I know what this Bible teaches, it'll be all right.
Amen.
Yes, it will.
Because I've read the front and I've read all the way through to the back.
Yeah.
And I know it'll be all right.
Amen.
If I know what this Bible teaches, let the heathen rage. And the people imagine a vain thing.
Yes.
Let Fox News go ahead and donate to the Church of Satan in America. And let the CNN rail against every good thing in America. And let the woke people and the all of the isms and schisms and these people and that people, troubled times, terrible times in Chicago. Have you heard what happened in Chicago? Yeah, I heard what happened in Chicago. Did you hear what happened in Dallas? Yeah, I heard what happened in Dallas. Did you hear what happened down there in that little burg in South Carolina? Yeah, I've heard all about that. It comes on my stinking phone and interrupts my day. And I know what's going on. But I got a Bible.
Yes, amen.
I got a Bible.
Yes, amen.
Let the storms come. Let the heathen rage. Let China come and invade this country. You say, oh, don't say that. It's coming, folks. We are so spoiled. You go over where Boyd and I have been. You go to Burma with me. You go to the Philippines with your preacher. And you'll find out that Americans are spoiled rotten and we are fluffy soft.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
And we've taken for granted our every good thing that we've got.
Yeah.
The blessings of God,
yeah.
I mean, we have two cars in every garage. We have enough food on our tables. We have name brand shoes on our feet. We've got it all. You ask anybody else in any other country in the whole world, and they think that America is paradise on earth. What do you think? Is it? No, it's not. But let the heathen rage. Let China come. I got a Bible.
Amen. Yeah.
When my loved ones are taken, suddenly, and I can't explain why this has happened. I don't sorrow as other folks which have no hope.
That's right.
And it'll be all right.
Yes, it will.
And I'll see them again.
Yes, I will.
Because, and I know this because I got a Bible.
Yes, amen.
And let the disappointments come. Let the Democrats win.
Uh-huh.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. You know how I know, Brother Rick? I got a Bible.
Yes, amen.
I got a Bible, folks. What about you? You got a Bible? Show me a Bible. Don't you lift up a New King James. Don't you lift up an NIV or a Living Bible. If you got a King James Bible, stand to your feet right now and wave it around. Let me see
it. Amen.
It'll be all right because we got a Bible. Remain standing for prayer.
Yes, amen.
Preacher, you come.
Yes, amen.